for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Thursday evening service of July the 3rd, 1997, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. David Brogdon is the speaker for the evening.
That brings us up to time for our speaker this evening. To those of you who aren't acquainted with David Brogdon, as I mentioned earlier, he was raised just a few miles away from where I was. A few years later than when Lyle and I were up at Springfield in Jacksonville, but Lyle still goes back up there quite a bit, and we do when we can. We have a wonderful time going up there to the meetings up there, and Tommy goes there quite often. Of course, that's what the Lord's called Tommy to travel and minister. And if you need somebody to come minister in your area, you talk to Tommy and see if he can fit you in somewhere in these travels. He'll be happy to have you. And you will be blessed. You will be blessed. Now, David travels a little bit, but David has a job that he has to take care of. He's a contractor in the electrical field, and he's worked out for yourself, don't you? You contract out, and that's his a side job, but his main job is serving the Lord. And the Lord is using David and the family. And whenever David comes around close where we know where he's going to be, we try to go and attend the meetings because we're always blessed. So you're going to be blessed tonight as David Brogdon comes to minister the word of the Lord.
Kyle told me to turn myself on. Okay. I'm always turned on for Jesus. Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, what a good-looking house we have here this evening. It's been a blessing. So many good teachings have been coming forth. Praise the Lord, and more yet to come. Amen. Yeah. How many people have been helped so far?
Hallelujah.
Well, boy, everybody. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful?
We've had some good work.
Praise God. You've got some good teachers that have come in. That's a blessing. My goodness. I've got a little song. I'm just going to do it a cappella. Is that okay? The Lord gave me this song earlier this year. And as I went out to minister in various bodies throughout the United States, I began to see a reoccurring theme, fear. Fear of Satan. Fear of Satan. Not the fear of the Lord, but fear of Satan. And the Lord took me over into Job and revealed to me how he had called for his sons to come stand before him. Job 1 and 6, if you can look there, and Job 2 and 1. And then over in Luke, we find Luke chapter 22, we find Jesus saying to Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you. And so that was where the song was birthed from, those two particular three passages there. It goes like this. Lord, I'm not afraid of Satan and the things that he can do. He has to get permission to even talk to you. He tries to trip me up every now and then. But he had to get permission to tempt me with sin. I know he's a roaring lion seeking to devour. But he had to get permission to come at me this hour. He lies and steals and kills, and he tries to destroy. But as long as we obey you, we'll know all his ploys. Lord, I'm not afraid of Satan and the things that he can do. He has to get permission, and he's afraid of you. No need to be fearful of that devil anyway. We only need the fear of the Lord to keep us in the way. And that's what it's about, isn't it? The fear of the Lord. In my travels throughout the country, and the Spirit of God gave me this scripture here. It's for somebody here. I don't know who it is. I'm going to read it to you in Romans 8, 35 through 39. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Amen.
And the Spirit of God was saying that some of you need some hope today.
Amen.
Some of you need hope to make it through. And this is hope. This is the hope scripture.
Yeah.
This is hope. When you're trusting and your whole life is centered on Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray right quickly. Father, we just thank you now this evening. Father, we thank you for your word, that your word, Father God, takes first place in our lives. Lord, that we have prepared our soils to receive the word this evening. Lord, that your word would produce the fruit that you so desire in these, your people. And Lord, we thank you for your word as it goes forth now. For Father God, your word is supercharged, your word is powerful, and your word is quick, Father God. And so, Father, we ask you now to open our hearts to receive what the word of God has for us this evening. And Lord, I thank you that you have so ministered here this day, and we bind and continue to bind every onslaught of the devil that would hinder us and keep us from hearing the word of God, so that we may be more than just hearers, but doers of that word, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Turn to Hosea 4 and 6. Hosea 4 and 6. Now, some of you may know that scripture, and some of you may not. I think we, most of us know the first part of it, but I want to hit the whole of that scripture. The prophet Hosea says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." That word could be translated ignorance. "Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you." Now, what he's saying here, if you want to be ignorant, you can be ignorant still. "That you shall be no priest to me." We are called what? In Peter, we're called what? Priest. In Revelation, we're called a kingdom of priests, aren't we? And God said he'll reject us because we don't receive knowledge. "Seeing you have forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget your children." Boy, that sounds like a curse to me, doesn't it? God said he'll forget your children. Now look over in Acts chapter 17. This, the writer of Acts was writing this and taking down notes. It was Luke, the physician, that was writing this. And he was saying in chapter 17. Now I'm going to read verses 30 to 31. He says, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." We've heard that, haven't we? Repentance. "Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead." Who is that man?
Jesus.
Jesus. Amen. The world's going to be judged by Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Now go back to Daniel. Is this too fast for you? Good, because I've got 18 hours of teaching I've got to do in an hour and a half. True? those of you that know me.
Daniel what?
Did I say Daniel? Chapter 8. Let's go back to chapter 7 then.
Okay.
I've had the privilege and the honor of working with Brother Cook, and it's been quite interesting to learn some of his ways. we had a little flyer, just a little sidekick. We had a little flyer put together, and we were called the Sons of Thunder. Somebody had it posted back here one time, and they had mustaches put on us and all kinds of other things. But when we have went out together, we have thundered on the doctrine of man and revealed the doctrines of God. And I tell you what, it stirs up people. Chapter 7, verse 18 of Daniel. "But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Now, how many saints do we have here? Not very many. Oh, now I see a few more hands. Okay. We have some saints here. This is a vision that was given to Daniel, and he saw the saints of the Most High. He saw them taking the kingdom. You've had much kingdom teaching here, and you continue to have more. But he saw the saints taking and possessing. Now turn over to chapter 11 of Daniel. Chapter 11, verse 32. And the last part of that, I put 32b, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do something.
Exploits.
And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Now we're going to stop there. There's much into this, but what I'm trying to do is build something here. God is speaking to a people, and you're that people. This is the age. This is the day. Look over in Jeremiah chapter 23. I want to show you what God has to say. Jeremiah chapter 23. And this is what I see, and when I go out to minister, this is what I say. Woe to you pastors. Woe unto you pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. The pastors have been scattering the sheep. Verse 2, therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. We wonder why the pastors are having problems today, and adultery and fornications and all kinds of things are happening to those that are pastors. It's because they're not doing the work that God has called them to do, and that's to train up His people. Bottom line, train up His people. Now, what I want to share with you, this has just been a foretaste. What I want to share with you this evening is the fact that the mystery of iniquity is coming to the full in our day. It's coming to the full. There's signs out there. There are things going on. I believe that Speed is going to be teaching tomorrow night. He'll probably share some things happening that's going on here in the United States. I've had the opportunity to be in some of the things going on here. And I can see one thing, looking at it in the church. The church is not ready. The church is not prepared because the pastors are not prepared. They're not preparing the church. Bottom line.
Amen.
And because of that, there's many going to fall in the days ahead. Now, what God desires is for a people that are going to do exploits. It's the people that Daniel saw. It's the people that Paul saw. It's the people that John saw in Revelation. There's a people that's going to come forth with power, endued with power from on high. Are you endued with power?
Amen.
The Scripture says you are. Amen. But you don't seem like it. You don't act like it. You don't walk like it. You don't talk like it. And I can say that throughout the whole of this country. And I'm telling you, God is tired of it. He is full to the full. And He's going to start spewing some people out in these days ahead. Some things are going to start happening. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is what I want to share with you and teach you. We've had tremendous success as the Lord has brought people out of ignorance. They're knowledgeable now. They know the things of God. Amen. They can begin to flow in the things of God. How many of you flow regularly in the gifts of the Spirit? Raise your hands real high. Those of you just raised. Okay. Okay. Not very many. Less than a third. Does that sound like a strong church to you? No. All of you should have had your hands up. You see? God wants all of us to begin to flow regularly in the gifts. Some of you perhaps have never had hands laid on you and the gifts imparted. That's scriptural. Look over in Timothy. Paul said that in 2 Timothy 1, he said to Timothy, what did he say? Stir up the gift of God that is within you. You know, most people don't even know how to stir up. They're not stirred by much. That's the truth.
Praise the Lord.
They're not stirred by much. You know, most people are going around running to and fro throughout this country looking for a thrill.
That's right.
I'm just telling it the way it is. But I tell you, when you get a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I hope to share this one evening here, the relationship that you need with Jesus Christ, the intimate relationship that you need with Jesus Christ, will cause you to be an overcomer. That's the only way you're going to overcome is through that intimate relationship with Christ. And the intimate relationship is through fasting and through prayer and through communion with Him. That's the only way. But God, through the writer Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, now look what Paul says. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you, what? Ignorant. Concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. Paul saw that there was much ignorance in the body of Christ concerning these gifts and concerning their operation. How many of you know how these gifts operate? Two, three? That's not very many. Five, now five, six, seven, eight. I'm going to share with you this evening how these gifts operate. And then what I want to do after that is to impart those of you that are not flowing, impart, and I want to have the ministry up here, and we're going to, this is what the Spirit of God showed me today, and have the ministry up here to pray and to impart into you those gifts. That's scriptural.
That's right.
Amen. So you can be a powerhouse for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Now, everywhere we went, and the Lord's had me share this message with other messages, but we've done one thing. The Spirit of God has really impressed upon me to impart into the people the gifts so they can operate and function as a team. God spoke to me one day and He says, are you a team player? I said, well, I think I am. But I had to go to the dictionary, Webster's, New Collegiate, and look up team, make sure I knew what I was talking about when I said it to Him. I wanted to make sure, what's a team player? And a team player is one that has a goal set before him, and he shoots for that goal. All of us have a goal set before us. We're all team players. We're to be working as a team together. Amen?
That's right.
But Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Now, in the Greek, what he's saying here, These idols, they can't speak, they can't smell, they can't move, they just sit there. They don't do anything, yet you bow down to them. He's talking to the church, folks.
Yeah.
Same thing today. I'd say that the majority of the church have many idols in their house that they bow down to, whether they know it or not.
Yeah.
And it's an abomination to God. And they wonder why they're not being blessed. God, throughout the century, throughout this particular century, has been longing for and seeking for and preparing a people. He may have prepared some of your ancestors. He may be just preparing you, and you're preparing your children and your grandchildren, but He's preparing a people for a work. How many know that Jesus might be coming back? Oh, they know it. I know He is coming back, you know. It's not a might. He is coming back. He shall return. And He's coming for a church without what? Spot or wrinkle. He's coming for a church that's going to be a powerhouse.
Amen.
They're going to do exploits.
Thank you, Jesus.
Woo! Do you want to do exploits?
Yeah.
I love it. I love it when I see the church do it. You know, 2 weeks ago I was in the northern part of Arkansas here and was invited to speak and talk to people. And then the last day, I was telling the people, you know, you can't flow in the gifts of the Spirit. First of all, you have to be saved. Is anybody not saved here? And everybody was saved. And I was thank God for that. I said, and the second thing is you have to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And the evidence of that is what? And a man at 72 years old jumped up and he says, I haven't got that yet.
Praise God.
And he came forward and it was so easy to minister the baptism of the Holy Ghost because he was ready. God had prepared the ground ahead of time, and He was ready. And then the Spirit of God said, I want Him to pray for some people. There's some people that are sick here, and I want Him to pray for them. So that's what I told the people, and there's people that got five people jumped up. And I told him, I said, you're going to pray for them. He says, but I don't know how to do it. That's the church. I don't know how to do it. You know, where's your training? Where's your training ground? In the church.
Amen.
Amen. And so I had him pray, and the first person, the first man he prayed for, God sovereignly healed him like that. And this man was excited then. Oh yeah, God does work. And the Spirit of God says, now take the man that was prayed for and the man that prayed for him, and they prayed for two others.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And so that's how that went throughout that whole ministry.
Amen.
The body ministering to the body. There was deliverance. There was healing. There were words of knowledge, words of wisdom. There was prophecy. Woo! That's the church I want to be in.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
The gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church are an expression of the divine mind. Amen. God's imparting Himself into us. Amen. And He's using us human channels that are indwelt by the Holy Ghost to do something for Him. You know, I liked how the Holy Ghost announced Himself over in the book of Acts. I really like that. A mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire sitting on people's heads. I mean, what an announcement. Praise God. And we need that in the body of Christ. We need that, the Holy Spirit, to just refresh us and get us so charged up that we'll be powerhouses for Jesus. Amen. Because God wants to use you. Amen. He wants to use you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let's look in Revelation. Excuse me. Let's not go to Revelation yet. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. Stay in 12 there. Now, let's look at the gifts. Let's read in verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. What's he saying there in the natural, in our vernacular today? He's saying that the Holy Spirit is different in each and every one of us.
Yes. Right.
And he may do something altogether different in this lady as he would in this lady.
Yes.
But the main purpose is perhaps to set the people free,
amen,
to heal them, to get them saved, whatever it is. But God will use it, and he'll use different people to do it. Amen?
Yes.
I thank God we're all different.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God is like that. He doesn't have us molded. Although we're coming into the mind of Christ, amen?
Yeah.
We're all coming to the place where we're going to be fashioned like Jesus himself.
Amen.
Amen. Now the writer Paul goes on to say, and there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. To what?
Wow.
To profit. God wants you to be profitable.
Yeah.
Did you know that? He wants all of us to be profitable servants for Him. He says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And what I find is, and I've found out through the years and through study and things, that you can break these nine into three groups of three. Can anybody tell me what they are?
Power gifts.
The what?
Revelation
gifts, okay. And the oral gifts, yeah. Vocal. Amen. Three areas. Now, we're going to deal with these in all three of them. We're going to start with the revelation gifts first, okay? Let's look at the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. For usually they work together, those three. Now, you can't group them up and say these three are working, and so that's the box that they're in. You may have a word of knowledge for, you know, working of miracles or gifts of healing. You may have something like that. God will reveal. Or you may have discerning of spirits that works with one of those. But you need to understand what they are. Now, Paul says that we need to, if you go over in Revelation 12 there, he says, verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Desire. Amen. God wants us to desire. What are the best gifts? I can't think of any that's not good. Although there is one, there is one gift that needs a helper in order for it to operate. Tongues. Amen. And the sad part is, that most in the body of Christ have no knowledge of the gifts. Most in the Spirit-filled churches have no foundation.
Right.
Bottom line. Most in the body of Christ rely upon someone else.
That's right.
Well, I'll tell you what. God is saying today, stop relying on someone else.
Amen.
It's time for you to stand up and to begin to take authority in your life.
Yeah.
You're not always going to be here in this group.
Amen.
Amen. You're not always going to be around these people.
That's right.
And God wants you to be coming to maturity.
Amen.
Amen. The word of wisdom. The gift of the word of wisdom and the gift of word of knowledge work together. Let's look at word of knowledge first, because if we look at word of knowledge, we'll get a better understanding of the word of wisdom. Okay? That word means just that, a part. I may have a part for somebody, and then somebody else will have a part, but you put the two parts together, you get a little clearer picture. And that's why it's important to get together with the body of Christ and those that flow in particular gifts to begin to give those gifts out into the body so that we get a little better picture of the work that God has for us. Amen? God is all-knowing, but He does not reveal everything all at once. Did He reveal your work when you first got saved? No. Did He reveal what he was going to do last year to you for this year? No. It's a gradual thing, isn't it? It's little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little.
That's right.
That's how God does it.
Right.
He didn't deliver you all at once.
That's right.
Who's that hand back there? No. No. Nobody got delivered all at once. It's a process as in part.
That's right.
And praise God for it, for that little by little. Amen. A word is a fragmentary part of a sentence, isn't it? So a word of knowledge would simply mean a fragmentary part of an entire knowledge or counsel of God. Just that simple. Amen? The word of knowledge is not natural knowledge. And I see that in the body. They're using natural knowledge and it's not the word of knowledge. It's not a profound knowledge of the Bible. There are a lot of scholars out there. But it's not that. It's not a knowledge of God and having a close communion with Him. It's not that at all. But the word of knowledge is a word that's given to us in part. And usually the word of knowledge is something that God reveals that is something happened to us in the past or something that happened just recently. To give you an example of this, I was just in a ministry here 2 weeks ago, and as I was ministering, there was a lady sitting in the second row back, and the Spirit of God spoke to me and said she didn't want to come here today. She was laying in her bed, and she said, why should I go to church today? And I said, as I was ministering, I was thinking, oh, that's interesting, Lord. And the Lord said, no, stop and give it to her right now. So I did, and she broke down. And I said, furthermore, the Lord said that He had a word for you today. And she started weeping even the more. And she said, that was the part that I told the Lord, if I come today, I got to have a word. And she thought I had the word. I said, I don't have the word for you. But God said He had someone here that had the word for you. And so she was anticipation throughout the whole of the meeting till the very end. And God used another sister in that particular body to give the word, and it was a sure word.
Hallelujah.
It was a sure word. But see, that was a word of knowledge God had revealed. He showed me a part, and then He revealed others. He gave a word of wisdom and some prophecy through this other woman. And God desires to reveal things to us. You know, a lot of people come in for deliverance, and they like to hide things. I don't know if they do it for you guys. I don't know. They do here. They like to hide stuff, don't they? But you know, these gifts, do they hide for you? They try to hide things, don't they? But you can't hide from the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I don't care who you are. You can't hide a thing from Him.
Praise God.
And He'll reveal it. Every time, He'll reveal what it is. If you want to know what that deep thing is that's turned your clock upside down, the Spirit of God will reveal it if you don't.
Yes.
And He'll open it right up. We've had that happen many times, I tell you. And when we're ministering, the Spirit of God will just reveal stuff. Boom.
Amen.
And that's the way it should be. That's the body, see? But the whole point in being is that we as the body of Christ need to be operating in these gifts.
Amen.
And you need to know how these gifts operate. Now, I'm just giving you what the gifts are, but I'm telling you there's a counterfeit to this. And this is something for you to go look up. What's the counterfeit? There's a counterfeit. Satan counterfeits everything of God.
That's right.
And if, let me put it to you this way. If you've ever been involved in witchcraft of any kind, sorcery, any kind, open yourself up to yoga or any other stuff, then you're probably going to be, if you've never gotten to deliverance and things, you're probably going to be operating in one of these that you think is a gift, and it'll be a false gift. It'll be false. So we need to know the difference, don't we? We need to be so in tune with the Lord and so flowing in these gifts that we'll know. And I just love coming here because there are brothers and sisters in Christ here that flow in the gift of discerning of spirits. It's phenomenal. You know, it's a blessing. My daughter does that. My daughter is just, I'm telling you what, she flows in that just real, that's a main gift in her particular walk. I mean, God just shows things just that quickly. And that, it's helpful. It's helpful. But the word of knowledge, you know, God reveals things to us, the past or the present here. Amen. Now let's look at the word of wisdom. I want to do this really quick because I want to really get into some ministry here. The gift of the word of wisdom will usually work in conjunction with the word of knowledge. And this gift, the word of wisdom, usually reveals in the future. Shows the future. Gives you some hope down the road. Amen. Gives you something to hold on to. Yeah, God has spoken and God has said this. And praise God, I can hold on to it. Look over in Acts chapter 9. Hold your places in 1 Corinthians 12. Acts chapter 9. Here's a man that later became an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. But his name was Saul. And in chapter 9, we find Saul going to Damascus to persecute the church. Amen. And on the way there, in verse 4, chapter 9, he says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Who was the Jesus he was persecuting?
Church.
The church, the body, the Christ in you. That's who he was persecuting. When people persecute you, they're persecuting Jesus. And here's Paul. He was trembling and astonished. Lord, what will you have me to do? I mean, I'll tell you what, if you're standing in the presence of Jesus Christ and he blinds you and you can't see nothing but him, you're going to ask that same question. Lord, what is it I can do for you? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. Notice, first of all, there was obedience in Paul's life. He was obedient to the word. When the Lord spoke, he did it. And he arose and went. I don't know how he got there. I guess the men took him. The men that was journeying with him took him in there. But I want to look at this man, Ananias. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. That's how you say it, right? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard of many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on your name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. We see in this particular word right here that was the word of knowledge given to Ananias, wasn't there? Paul prayed. Word of knowledge. Paul's praying, man. And he's given a word of knowledge. But then he's also given a word of wisdom, isn't he? He says, "For I will show him that for he is the chosen vessel of me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I'll show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake." That's a word of wisdom, isn't it?
Amen.
Now, how many of you would like to hear that? Oh, there's a lot of people raising their hands, but I dare say you wouldn't want to suffer what Paul had to suffer. Unless God had prepared you for it. If God had prepared you for it, then you could make it. So here's this man, Ananias. He was obedient, and he was an instrument of God, wasn't he? And he went forth and did what the Lord told him. Now, do you suppose that he got some training somewhere? I don't know. The Scripture leaves that kind of open to us. But I'm sure when the saints, if you go back further and back in Acts chapter 2 and 3, you'll find them coming together, praying together daily, the Scripture says. Daily. Daily. And God was adding unto them daily, wasn't he? And then he began to multiply unto them, didn't he? Daily. And so we know when they were coming together, this is where they were getting revelation. This is where the apostles was getting revelation from the Holy Ghost. Daily, they were getting it. Oh man, what a time that was. You know, the Spirit of God wants to give you revelation today, just like He did the early church.
Amen.
There are things still hidden in the Scriptures here that God wants to reveal to us. And don't hold it and keep it unto yourself. You're supposed to bring it and give it to us. But I dare say, dear saints, that in most churches you probably couldn't do that.
That's right.
In most churches you wouldn't be able to give anything.
That's right.
And if you did, it would be to the pastor upon appointment. The truth or not. That's the truth.
That's right.
There are some churches that will not allow the gifts of the Spirit to flow unless the pastor says they can flow. So that's why they get rattled when Tommy and I come, because they never know when they're going to flow. And they don't stop us. The Holy Ghost has given us a commission. And we're doing a work for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're building up the body of Christ. Amen? That's the job. That's the work that needs to be done. The body of Christ has to be built. And they need to know about these gifts and how to operate in these gifts. Amen.
Amen.
Oh boy, I have many scriptures here, but let's see. Now, how does this gift work? How does the gift of word of knowledge and the word of wisdom work? Well, if I could ask those of you that flow in that, it would probably be different from all of you.
Amen.
Sometimes some people get just a vision. They see something in their mind.
Right.
Now, the majority of time when you see something, you know, you have to describe it, don't you?
Right.
And a lot of us, if I saw a picture of, let's say, a man on a bicycle going down a particular hill or something, that's how I would describe it. But you may see that same picture and you'll say, there was a man going down a hill on a bicycle and there was a tree off to the right and there was a stone. You know, you would describe it differently.
Right.
Seeing the same picture.
Amen.
You see? Or you may get just one word.
Right.
God will give you just one word.
Amen.
And as you open your mouth and you boldly give that one word, He'll add unto it. He'll add unto it. Just keep going. Just keep flowing. Just keep flowing. Yes, sir.
The ideal way was the Bible says, like Jesus talking to the woman of the well. He used these two gifts.
Yes, he did. He sure did. Sure did. They were in operation. But he had the fullness of the Spirit, didn't he?
Yeah.
We only have a part. That's why we need each other, because He has a part, and she has a part, and she has a part, and he has a part. But if you put us all together, we're going to have a whole. See? That's the whole of it. And we need to be acting as a body ministry. Amen? That's the bottom line. God has fed up with anything less than that. Whoops.
Praise God.
Did I strike a nerve?
No.
Oh, okay. Give me time. Oh, praise God. You know, 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion." He's not the author of confusion. When he begins to flow, when the Spirit of God begins to flow, it's all in order.
Amen.
And you'll flow in that order.
Yeah.
I was in a meeting. Tommy and I were in a meeting. And there was a particular person that gave a tongues. And I'm telling you, it is the most beautiful tongues. And we sat there and we waited. And finally, a lady had a bit of the interpretation. And she stopped. And then a gentleman picked up and gave the rest of the interpretation. And he stopped. Then the Lord spoke to me and said, "Now it's your turn." And I spoke and gave the rest of it. And it came from three different sources, but it was the full heart or the full word that God had through the lady in tongues. But you know what I found was interesting? I happened to be speaking first that day, and I asked the people, "What did the Lord say?" You ever have that? "What did the Lord say?" The people that gave the interpretation, other than myself, did not know.
That's right.
What was God saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm telling you, folks, God wants to say something. He's probably said some words here in these meetings. What has He said? Do you know? Uh-oh. Oh, me.
Thank the Lord for the tape.
Amen. The early church didn't have a tape.
That's right.
They had to remember what the Spirit of God said.
Yeah.
You know, the problem with us today, we've set ourselves in front of that little tube too long, the church. And we've sat in front of that and we've watched those things and we've got so involved in the world and the things of the world that we've left this aside. And we wonder why we can't operate and flow in the gifts. We wonder why we're having problems in the church. It's because we're too much. There's too much world in the church, yet God wants to get the world out of us. Amen. Yeah, and I'm telling you, if you want to flow in these gifts and you want to flow really fluently in these particular gifts, you start getting the world out of you. You start getting the demons out of you and the devils out of you, and you'll start flowing a little more fluently. Do you want to do that or not?
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's look at discerning of spirits. Now, I've heard this. This discerning of spirits. The word discern means to perceive by seeing or hearing. I don't know. There have been times that I've worked in deliverance and with people, and the demons will talk to me. Nobody else hears them. True?
Yeah, sure.
But they're talking right to you. And they're telling you all these things. I remember the first time in 1980 when I sat underneath this Lutheran pastor who got baptized in the Holy Ghost, got ejected from his church, and he's coming into to deliverance. And he asked me to sit in one day and help. And I sat there, and this woman, she had a spirit of rage that was out of this world. It was. Demons are, aren't they? And this thing spoke to me. And it said this: "If I come out of her, I'm going to come into you." Now, it's my first time now, folks. So I tapped the pastor on the shoulder and said, "We got to talk. Let's go in the kitchen." So I go in the kitchen and I said, "Man, that thing says it's going to come in me." And he started laughing. He says, "It's a lion. It's a lion. It's a lion." He says, "It's not going to go anywhere but where the Lord wants it to go." And boy, I tell you what, I went, man, did that take the pressure off. But that was the gift of discerning of spirits. They were speaking to me. And God allowed it, you see. And I could discern what was going on. And from there on out, I could hear them speaking to Brother George was his name. I could hear him speaking to George and saying things. And I would look at George, and George would look at me and just smile. Because I could hear what they were saying. They were all liars. And then I got bold. I found out that they couldn't hurt me if I had closed the door in that area.
Amen.
You see? So I found out, George, maybe I better sit in the seat first. Maybe I better get the deliverance first.
Amen.
You know? And so I put myself in the chair, and I sat in for deliverance. And it's just been continually. I'll tell you what. Every pastor needs to get deliverance.
Yeah.
Every pastor.
Yeah.
no exceptions to the rule. And stay with it. Because God will reveal little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Amen. None of us are exempt. Some of us have been here for a long time doing this, for years. And sometimes they're ministering in an area, Dr. Knowles ministering in an area I've never heard about before. And I sat there, man, I need that deliverance. Yeah, I see that. You know? And, you know, I said this today. Most men have a spirit of pride.
Amen.
And they won't sit in that chair. Well, I'll tell you what. Pride will take you to hell.
Amen.
Bottom line.
That's right.
And if that's where you want to go, and that's your goal is to go there, then just keep pride.
Right.
Women are less inhibited than us men.
That's right.
Boy. My wife was easy. but discerning of spirits, this is it's perceiving or seeing by seeing or hearing. You can either see. Now, I have an uncle and myself personally, the God's opened my eyes up and I can see those little rascals every once in a while, or some of them are really quite nice looking, you know, depending upon their rank. But God will open your eyes up and you can see them. Now, that's the Holy Ghost doing it. But what discerning of spirits is not? This is what I've heard it called. It's called it's not the gift of discernment, okay? It's discerning of spirits.
Yeah, right.
It's not the gift of discernment. And I hear it all the time. People are saying, I got the gift of discernment. But you know what they got? They got a busybody spirit. That's exactly what they've got.
Or like suspicion.
Or suspicion. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, we get into that story too. But it's not that. And it's not spiritual mind reading.
Right.
Like I said earlier, if you've been involved in the occult in any way, then this is what you're operating under. You have a familiar spirit that's telling you things. That's why when we go into deliverance, man, we bind up all familiar spirits. That they cannot communicate and force and reinforce one another in any way in Jesus' name. Amen? You have to do certain things.
Amen.
And it's not just discerning of evil spirits either.
No.
And I hear this so much, especially a lot in the deliverance camps, where all they see is evil spirits. Well, I tell you what, God wants to open your eyes up to the good ones too.
Yes.
My daughter, one time, anybody have a car breakdown? No, okay, I thought I was the only one. My vehicle broke down, had to go for help, and my daughter stayed in the car. And my youngest daughter went to sleep in the car there. And my oldest daughter was just really, oh man, she was excited and agitated. And when we got back, one daughter was asleep, the other was agitated. So we asked the one, why did you go to sleep? Well, Daddy, I wasn't afraid. When you got out of the car, this angel come and sat in your seat. And so I was safe. See, she saw an angel come and sit. Those ministering spirits that have been assigned to each and every one of us.
Yes.
Amen. To help us. Praise God. And that so blessed us. You know, this gift of discerning of spirits is used to help many who are ensnared by Satan and by demons. I believe this is one of the gifts that needs to be in operation in every church, everybody, everywhere. It needs to be in operation. Hallelujah. Usually a person who's been involved in witchcraft will display something, as I said earlier, that will look valid and look like discerning of spirits, but it's not. It's a familiar spirit that's in operation working. And anybody that's ever been involved in the occult of any kind, they need to set and submit themselves for deliverance and have these, if they've operated in what they thought was the gift of the Lord, get these false gifts, spirits cast out.
Amen.
That's the bottom line. But this gift has to be and needs to be in operation. We're being invaded by seducing spirits at an alarming rate. Seducing spirits are coming in with doctrines of devils are coming in, and we need to know what it is that's in operation. Amen. Now let's look at the power gifts right quickly. There are the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Woo, boy. This is what the gift of faith is, back in 1 Corinthians 12. The gift of faith is this. The gift of faith operates in a believer so that we can receive things. That's what the gift of faith is. Now, we've all been given a measure of what? Faith. And that's different from the gift of faith. Okay? And that measure of faith needs to be growing within you at all times. It's got to be growing. It's a seed that's been planted, but it has to grow. If it grows, it's going to produce something. And it's going to produce Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And more of Him than less of you. Amen? But you have to do something in it growing. But this gift of faith is works in us that we might receive miracles or gifts of healing. One gift receives, the other one does something. Amen? So remember, the gift of faith is there so that people might receive something. If you're working in deliverance, that gift of faith better be there. Did you come and you wanted to receive deliverance? You wanted to receive help from the Lord Jesus Christ? Then the gift of faith is usually in operation. It has to be if you're going to be receiving something. Amen? And these gifts operate in conjunction with our own personal faith. We lose our faith with these power gifts so that God can do something. Amen? We use the gift of faith a lot when we're casting out devils, as I said earlier. The gift of faith is a process. It's a process. And it's manifested by the Holy Spirit and enables a person to receive a miracle or receive a healing beyond their ordinary capacity to receive. It's supernatural. Supernatural. Amen? The working of miracles. Miracle is defined as this: a supernatural intervention by God in the ordinary course of nature. Man can't do it, but only God can do it. The Greek word for miracles is dunamis. It's that supernatural power. In fact, it's called the acts of power, explosive, impelling, staggering, wondering astonishments. Whoa! I saw this gift work praying for a woman one time that had some bone removed, was in an accident, had bone removed out of her leg and out of her arm, and God, by the laying on of hands, the bone was restored. Lyle was a witness to it. We have it on tape. The bone was restored in the leg and restored in the arm fully, wholly, 100%.
Glory.
And the woman had been that way for 10 years anyway, and was like this. And don't you know, when she got healed, she rejoiced.
Amen.
She ran, she jumped, she rejoiced before the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was a supernatural working of miracles. And this, it was a miracle. Has anybody ever been able to successfully put bone back where bone was taken out? Doctor, have you known of anybody? Pardon me? Not instantly, right. So that's an act of God, His intervention of God, supernatural intervention to do something, and faith has worked with it. I've seen cancers removed. I don't know, God just used me to minister to women in the area that they had cancer in the breast. And it started out with the next door neighbor to my mother. And my mother and father, the neighbor was diagnosed with this and had some lumps. And my mother, she said, "Well, my son will pray for you and you'll get healed." Mothers. So we went over. I went over to the place and to the lady. And sure enough, she had. And by the way, if for you women, if you know anybody that has that, what the Lord had revealed to me, that's a spirit of unforgiveness. They have unforgiveness in their heart towards someone. And then that devil has a right to impose those particular cancers on you. And if you deal with that first, that's the root cause. That's another teaching. You have to deal with the root cause get the root done, and then pray for healing, and the things will dry out. She went in for the operation, and they were pretty good size. And as they were going in, I knew the doctor. We went to the hospital, and the doctor said, as we were taking them out, and he didn't have to do a radical. He come in somehow or other beneath the armpits, and he says, as we were taking them out, they were shrinking in size.
Thank you, Lord.
That's God. That's God. But for a long while there, I was praying for a lot of women because that woman told other women, and it got around. But we saw the Lord Jesus Christ do some awesome things in that area. And what I know is that God is no respecter of persons. What He's done for me, He'll do for you.
Amen.
Yes. Praise God. Let's look at the gifts of healing. The gift of healing is, and notice it's plural, gift of healings. And it's because this gift is manifest through different vessels once again. And God may use you to do something. I know one lady that prayed for a person that I thought it rather strange at the time. But this lady had a problem in her hips. And she said, the Spirit of God said for me to pray for her feet. Okay? Pray for her feet. And God healed her because she prayed. I would have never prayed for her feet to heal her hip, would you? But the Spirit of God has spoke to her to do that. So she did, and the lady was healed. That's, you know, just being obedient. Amen? This gift is for us to bless somebody with. We need to be blessing one another, hadn't we? You know what's so sad for me is to see so many saints laid up in the hospitals. I just went recently to a hospital and saw a man there, and this man at one time flowed so well in the gift of healing. Gift of faith was operation in his life, and gift of healing. And I've seen him many times go pray for someone, lay hands on them, and they'd be healed like that. And this man was laying in the hospital. And the Spirit of God said, I want you to go speak life into him. He lost it. And so I went there, and that's what I did. All I did was spoke the Word of God. We talked the Word of God. And the man who was, for all purposes, the doctor said he was dying, the next day he was back home. Because it's the Word of God, see? And I reminded him of what he did and what the gifts that were in operation for him and what God wanted him to do. And God has a purpose and a plan for all of us, amen? Let's look at the three oral gifts. I'm trying to rush through this. I'm leaving out many scriptures. Something for you to go look up yourself, amen? The three oral gifts are what? All right. I got a good front row, I tell you what. They've been there, done that. How many of you have been through this before? Okay, there's a few of you have. And see, it's nothing new, but yet it is to some. You see, there's a whole new tribe of people coming up. Whole new group. You see, and it's time for us to learn and teach and reteach some of the principles that we've lost. You know, what's so sad? I went a few weeks ago, I was out ministering in another church. And you know, I don't know if you have this mindset, but I go out, and when I go out to minister, I assume these were all older saints of God in a particular denomination. And I assumed that they'd all been in there for a long time, they had some foundation, and I didn't have to go over foundation. I assumed wrong. Because they asked many questions, and this is Spirit-filled now, church. They asked many questions. And finally, the Spirit of God said, tell them to be quiet. And so I did. I said, the Spirit of God said for you to be quiet. I'm trying to give you some deep things of God, and yet you don't even know the foundations. How do you expect to grow? If you're putting a building together, you have to lay the cornerstone first before you can get the whole building put together. And so God had to do a little bit of work there in that particular body. But they received it. Hallelujah. They received it. I want to show you the gift of prophecy. Look over in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 14. Does somebody have a mint, by the way, while you're looking for this? You got one? Anybody got Jeremiah 14. Somebody you want to read? Bless you, brother. Thank you.
Verse 14.
Verse 14, yes. You already knew it. 14 through what?
Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them.
Neither spake unto them that they prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart.
The deceit of their heart. Now I want to go down and read verse 15 and 16, because therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall these prophets be consumed. Now look at this. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. You know, if you believe and receive a false prophet, this thing will happen. You're going to perish. You need, you're not kidding, you need discerning of spirits. You need to know what's operation. You need to know it. But the gift of prophecy, we see that operating in the, bless you, we see this operating in the prophets, but this gift of prophecy, look over in Acts chapter 14. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians 14, Acts. Thank you. Paul, writing to the church of Corinth in chapter 14, verse 1, says, follow after love, or charity, and desire spiritual gifts. Again, he says it back over in 31, chapter 12. But rather that you may prophesy. Rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaks unto men to what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Three areas. Three things. When people prophesy, they're to what? Build the church up, aren't they? Build up one another.
Amen.
They're to exhort if exhortation's needed.
Yeah.
When I was here two years ago, yeah, it'd been 2 years ago. Yeah. 2 years ago, there was a brother that was back over here, and I went to give a word, and the Lord said, now I can remember this word. God said to him, stop fleecing my sheep. And that fella, fear fell all over that fella. And I said, get down to the altar and repent and have some men pray for you. You need some deliverance. I believe Doc Noel and some others went and prayed for him. That's God. That's God. See, we don't hear that much in the church. We hear the flowery stuff. But God wants to exhort us sometimes. If you've been out of line, I'll tell you what, God will put you back in line.
Amen.
And God wants to comfort us. There's a lot of people that need comforting today.
Amen.
So many people need comforting today. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes prophecies are hard to understand. I've had words given to me. I'm sure some of you have also. And, yeah, you need an interpretation. Some are hard to understand. Well, think about the prophecies, first of all, for Jesus. It said that he was going to come from Bethlehem. He was going to be in Egypt. Okay? And he was going to come out of Nazareth. Now, how confusing is that? Yet God, through the prophets, said that, didn't he? Did he fulfill that?
Yes.
Every bit of it, didn't he? That's why it was hard for the Jews to receive him, wasn't it? But yet, there's the Scripture and there's the Word. Things were just hidden from them. Amen? And some of us have had words given to us, and sometimes we wonder, what are you saying, God? How many of you have ever had a prophecy given to you and that has not come to pass yet? Almost the whole house. Prophecies are, first of all, conditional. They depend upon your walk. They depend upon your talk. Oops. They depend upon your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. You want to see your prophecies fulfilled? And you get your walk and your talk and your relationship right, and you'll see them fulfilled.
Amen.
That's the bottom line, folks. Hallelujah. Oh, boy. We need to be very careful about personal prophecies. And I say this because there have been many lives ruined by supposed words from the Lord that were not words from the Lord. They were false prophecies. Many lives have been ruined. So much so that there are some people that won't even, if there's prophecy or things coming, they'll get up and leave. Hard to receive. Amen. I was in a ministry, went over to visit this one ministry, and there was this particular person there that was supposedly a prophetess. And when I walked in, I could just sense, this is not God. You ever had that? This was not God. And that particular person gave prophecy over a particular family, had the whole family come up, and gave this prophecy and said, you're to sell your house, give your money to a such and such organization, go to England, wait at a certain town in England at a railway station, and a gentleman will come by in a cab and pick you up. And everybody in the house, except for myself and another person that was with me, were just rejoicing over that word. And I looked at the gentleman and I said, that was straight from the pit of hell. That's right where it was. I should have. You're right. That was many years ago, and I wasn't as bold then as I am now. But it was. You knew that it was straight out of the pit of hell. It did not come from God. Yet they received it, and they almost acted on it. Almost. Had not God intervened, they would have been sitting still at that railroad station in England. Serious. So we need to be very careful. You need to be very careful. You need to judge those. First Corinthians 14:29 says, let the prophet speak two or three and let the elders judge. There needs to be judgment. I'll tell you what, people have been saying, don't judge this, don't judge. I'm telling you what, we better start judging some things in the church. There better be some things that we better just be setting the record straight, I'm telling you.
If anybody gives a prophecy here on this campground outside of us, they're rebellion against God and authority.
Say that again. Don't pull my shirt off.
If anybody gives prophecy on this campground outside of a place of authority before one of the ministers, they're in rebellion against God and this authority of this campground. That is a cardinal rule of this campground, has been from the beginning and is today.
Amen. Usually when I travel...
Prayer,
delivery, yeah, anything that's unauthorized. There's a need for the prophecy in the body of Christ, but there's a need to have it done in order. When I go out, when Tommy and I go out, I record everything. If I give a word, like here, it's recorded here, so I'm pretty well know that it's going to be judged and everything else, but when God uses you out in other places, in other ministries, I tell you what, take two tape players, record the one and give to the people. That way they can listen to it, they can write it out, and they can judge it, they can take it back to their ministry or their pastor or whatever, and they can find out if it's of God or not. And by having that tape for yourself, it keeps you in a place that you're always humble. Not to say we made mistakes. Early on, we made mistakes, but praise be to God, He's corrected everything. And the more you begin to flow, the less you're going to have problems. Amen? 2 years ago, is that sister here from Louisiana? Okay, was it two years ago? I had a word for a sister sitting back over here to get her house in order. Didn't know what it meant. I don't even know what the rest of it was, but I know to get her house in order. 4 months later, she was dead. But you know what she did? From what I understand, she got her house in order. She knew what it was. Now, this sister here could probably tell more, but she listened to the word of the Lord, and she was ready and prepared. And as a result, I think the prophecy tape did something, didn't it? Hold up, stand up a minute, get it on tape. So people can hear it.
I made a copy of the prophecy for her and her daughter. And after the funeral, the family found it. And several of them were saved due to the funeral, and some of them were already saved but weren't active in church. And that prophecy touched their hearts and their lives in such a dramatic way that they said they knew it was from God, because nobody could know what he prophesied except God.
Amen.
It changed lives.
It changed lives. Listening to the Word of God, acting on the Word of God, judging through the Word of God. Amen. And there have been many others here that I know that I've had words for before that God has really ministered to, touched lives. I think of Brother Jerry, his family, and the word that was given that touched his family. God knows you. God knows your family. God knows your circumstances. He knows your beginning to your end. Amen? And he knows what it's going to take to get you in a place that he can be blessed by you. Amen? Diverse kinds of tongues. Let's look at that right quick. Diverse kinds of tongues is a supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. Pretty simple, huh? You can't understand it, neither can I. I was in a meeting with a brother once, and he was giving a story about he went to this ministry, and people were praying in the spirit, and this one brother was going, "Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!" That's all he did. And people got fed up with "Yeah!" And the pastor was at a place where he was going to want to wring his neck. But a brother came in from Africa. He came in from Africa. And when that man began to do that, he fell to his knees and began to worship. And he said in this particular village that they only had like 15 words, or very, very few words. But that particular word that he used there was the highest praise unto the Creator. And the pastor repented of what he had thought in his mind against that brother. True story. So it's a supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue. Amen? But what's to follow? You know, 1 Corinthians tells us that there needs to be this other gift that follows that particular one, doesn't it? And that's interpretation. I mean, if somebody stands up and gives a tongue, that's beautiful, that's fine, it sounds good sometimes. But we need to understand and know what God has just said through that. So that's where these two gifts have to operate together. If you have one, you got to have the other. They flow together. The gift of interpretation of tongues. And that's a supernatural showing forth of what God is saying. And these two are likened as unto prophecy. And what I found a lot with tongues and interpretation of tongues, what I find is, sometimes in most places, is that God is speaking a word of exhortation to the body. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I hear more of exhortation. God is exhorting the body to do something.
Yes, amen.
And he has to get our attention. You know, we've heard it, prophecy here, prophecy there, but when tongues come, I tell you what, when tongues come, everybody's quiet. Everybody's listening. Because you want to hear what God's saying, amen? And God wants to show forth and give his mind on a particular area or in some area, whatever. He wants to give his mind in that and wants to reveal things to us. Wow. 1 Corinthians 14:27 says, "If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret." Now, as I said earlier, I've seen it the other way around. One gives tongues and three interpret. Just let the Spirit of God direct you. Amen? Now, what I want to do here this evening, what the Spirit of God showed me, we're going to do something really neat. Amen? Does anybody here ever experiment with Jesus?
Yeah.
Every day. Brother Glenn and Sister Irma never know what I'm going to do when I come here. But I can honestly say I never know what I'm going to do either. I'm getting instruction as I speak to you. I get instruction from the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, one thing I know that the Spirit of God has said, I want all ministries, all ministers, pastors, whatever particular fivefold ministry, to stand to their feet right now, please. Okay? Now, those of you that stood to your feet, I want you to come down here. I want you to stand in front of me here. I want to look at all of you. You're such a lovely people, I tell you what. Praise God. Okay. Husbands, if you have your wives here, get your wives up here. Or wives, if your husband's here, get him up here. Hallelujah. Now, that's good. That's good. Ooh, glory. What a good-looking bunch. Now, Paul tells us in the Scriptures of Timothy that we're to stir up the gift that's within us. Now, some of you have been operating in the gifts, but perhaps not like you should, or not like you want to. Is that true? I told the Lord, man, I want to operate more fluently in all the gifts. I don't want to exclude any of them and operate in them. And we're seeing more and more of that in our ministries as we're ministering unto others. Amen? And what I want to do is just go down, because the Scripture says, as we lay hands on, we impart something. Now, do you believe I'm going to impart the gifts of the Spirit? I believe it too. I won't lay hands on you and impart anything other than the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? And if you need a stirring up, I'm going to pray that God will stir you up. Now, when I get done with you, how many out here want to begin to flow in the gifts of the Spirit? Well, a few of them do. Okay. Now, what's going to happen is, when I finish with this group, we're going to turn around and you might as well clean the chairs out. Because I want you to lay hands and impart into them. And this is what I found, folks. And this has worked pretty good for the last 3 months, as the Spirit of God's been doing this. What I found is that when we do this, and you become activated in the gifts of the Spirit, and you begin to flow in that, that you begin to, you want to begin to do something. If you're going to prophesy, now's the time to do it.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody needs healing, somebody's going to have a gift here, and they need to lay hands on, and God's going to do something. How many believe that? Well, good, because we don't want any unbelievers. Now, how many of you are not saved here? Everybody's saved. Everybody knows Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. How many are not baptized in the Holy Ghost? Because this is only for Holy Ghost Spirit-filled people. Okay, there's one gentleman not baptized in the Holy Ghost. Oh, good. Hallelujah. Anybody else not baptized in the Holy Ghost? Well, you got to have that. I'm telling you what, you got to be empowered. Praise God. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start down at this end. Is that all right? And I'm going to walk around and I'm going to pray for the husband and wife and impart into you whatever the Spirit of God gives me. And some of you already know what you're flowing in already. And praise God to that. But God may want to impart some other things in.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And with that, there may be a word of prophecy, a word of knowledge, or a word of wisdom that'll be with that. Amen. Can you receive that?
Yes.
Let's all pray in the Spirit. And let's thank the Lord Jesus Christ.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.